It's like down the road, the taste of America.
If I remember correctly, we talked about Keichi V'Aitzim Yadi last week. Because Baruch Hu made the Nes of Chanukah happen in such a way that people could attribute it to their own keichus. And even if B'shas Ma'isa they couldn't, and the events are very close and they're fresh, so you can't attribute the Nitzach and the victory over the Yvonne to Darkei Teva. But that's immediately following the war. But a year later, the impression that Hashgacha Pratis made on them faded and disappeared behind the mask of Teva. Because everything about the war was Teva. I mean, there were too many coincidences for it to be a coincidence. And they had such siyata d'shmaya, the Rambam had me'atim, the Tameyim had ta'irim, that a thinking person could never believe that it was, that there was one without divine assistance. But time passes, and when time passes, people forget, and they say, Kaychi v'aitzim yadi asli yisachayel azeh. The Kadosh Baruch Hu prepared the Yom Dan Shekhinah Sagdayla, saw this, they saw the danger, and they made a takana of a mishnah v'yamtev in order that the nace of the shaman would be forever engraved in the consciousness of Klal Yisrael. And part of the Yom Tov is that we should connect with the nace of the Neris. And the nace of the Neris was not an independent nace. So the nace of the Neris was not in order of Klal Yisrael to fulfill the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neris. The Nes of the Neris is order that Klal Yisrael should understand that the whole Muhammad was the Malam Midrach HaTeva. As far as the actual mitzvah of lighting the Neris, if you don't have oil, you're potter. If you have oil that's Tamar, you could light it anyway. So it wasn't for the mitzvah Shabbai. It was that Klal Yisrael should see the Nes in the Teva. And that's what they needed. Maral's mamshich. Ke yivonim ayim mitamim misaheichel. The yivonim did not destroy the heichel. The Romans did that. The Babylonians did it. The yivonim did not destroy the heichel. Adarabba, they wanted the heichel very much around. They were mitamim the heichel. They defiled the Heichel. Shekakayich Yavan Miyuchid L'skaber al Heichel Yesem Yikol HaUmas. Morale is saying here that any other nation wouldn't have been able to do it. The Heichel, the Beis HaMikdash, the Kodesh, there's different names for it. The Heichel is the place where the Mizbeach HaZav was. There's the Shulchan with the Lechem Apanim and the Menorah were in the Heichel. And the Heichel wasn't just a physical structure. I mean, it was made from physical materials, but the ones, the Eisei HaMelacha, when they made the Beis HaMikdash, they did it with Kavana. And when you build something with Kavana, the Kavana has an effect on the physical materials. And they connected the physical materials to something higher. With the kavana, the gold, or the wood, the cedar wood, the marble, all the materials, the actual construction was the same in the mikdash. So they took the kavana. The kavana exists in the Eilam HaMachshava. And the Maisa, the Asiya, the actual Asiya of the Beis HaMikdash, and with the Kavana, They connected the physical materials of the Beis HaMikdash to something higher. Now, once at a time of the Nebuch, he was OCD. I mean, literally OCD. He was under medication. He was OCD. He had some spots on his ritzuis, the tefillin ritzuis, that looked like the black paint was wearing thin. Little white dots. I don't even know if there was a problem b'chol. I didn't see it. But he was worried about it. So he got some tefillin dye. And he covered over anything he thought was a problem. But then he wasn't sure if he said L'shem Kedushas Tefillin. So he peeled off all the things that he painted. And then he painted again. He said L'shem Kedushas Tefillin. But he wasn't sure that he got all of them, because it's very hard to know where you put a dot of tefillin paint, because it's black now. You know, before you put the paint on something, you could see a white dot. But when you put the tefillin paint on it, so it's black and it matches the ritzua. So he looked at the ritzua and he thought he got he peeled off all the parts where he painted over, but he wasn't sure if he got all of them. And if he didn't get all of them, so he didn't peel it off. He didn't do it lishma, so he got, after all this, he got new ritzuas.
Did he ask a rub?
What, Rav? Any Rav he taught, it doesn't, he's OCD. A very fine young man, Baruch Hashem. But why was he, if you put a dye on the Tefillin Ritzuis and you don't say the same Kedushas Tefillin, you taka have to do that. You don't have to be OCD about it, but you talk after do that. You tie in your tzitzis, you say the same kedushas tzitzis, or the same mitzvah tzitzis. If you don't do it, so then you have to do it over again. Why is that? Because if you don't say it, all you do is have strings. All you have is straps. You can't do a mitzvah with strings and straps. The cheft of the mitzvah has to be elevated. And the way it's elevated is through a nishmas Yisrael, having kavana, that by making it, you're making it the same mitzvah as habere, and you're making a chef to the mitzvah. And you're mekasha the chefetz with what's in habere. When you're mekasha the chefetz with what's in habere, the chefetz is in nishtana. If it's a different chefetz, then it doesn't react the same way as other things react. It has like a built-in defense mechanism that repels anyone that tries to defile it. The Beis HaMikdash was undefilable. You can't just come in. Any other nation that tried to defile the Beis HaMikdash by bringing a pig in there, or by sacrificing things for Avodah Zarah, they would not have been matzliach. They would not have been successful. It wouldn't have worked. Something would have happened to stop them. And I'm saying that there's meisim we have in our Messiah, meisim gluhim of people that tried to cause harm that couldn't cause harm. In the city of Baranovich, there's the yeshiva. The Rosh Yeshiva was, who's the Rosh Yeshiva of Baranovich? Yoni, who's the Rosh Yeshiva of Baranovich? Rabbi Chanan Wasserman.
Right.
And we like to paint this false portrait of what it was in cities like Baranovich, that everyone had been pious and they were all learning. You know, they would sell pickles for a few hours in the day, and they would close the pickle shop and go to the base medrash on the night. And if you went in, and if they were learning, you went in, you wanted to buy pickles, they would chase you out and said, can't you see I'm learning now and come back when I'm not learning, which was never, because he was never not learning. And it was like that for many, many individuals in the cities, but there were also Bundists. Bundists were free thinkers, they were socialists, pre-communists, and they were dedicated. They were dedicated to a cause, to free the Jewish people from the darkness, and they went after Yeshiva Bachem. And they made inroads in the Yeshiva. The Yeshiva Bachem, they were poor. They were more than poor, they were impoverished. They appealed to their intellect. They tried to show them how closed off they were, and they made inroads. They'd go into the Bate Medrash, and they would engage the Yeshiva Bachem in conversation. And they had moderate success. And they tore people away. Bochanan Wasserman heard that there was a group that would come to the Beis Medrash in Baranovich when he wasn't there. So he left instructions. If they ever come, someone should come and tell him. He'll come right away. They'll chase them out. Bochanan was an imposing figure. He was very tall. He was big. And he received notice that they were there. He ran to the Beis Medrash. And, you know, they were afraid he was going to pick them up. They actually, you know, they were afraid he was going to pick them up and throw them out. Literally throw them out. And one of them said to him, Chana, unhent. Which means in English, they didn't call him Rebbe Chanan. They said Chana. They called him a Chanan. No hands. You know, we came to have a dialogue, to talk. You want to talk to us, we'll talk to you. No violence. It's like Chana unhand. And they went like Chana unhand. And Rabbi Chana said to this individual, Dear unhand! You know, you without hands. And the guy froze. Couldn't move his hands. I like to say he's still there. You go to Baranovich, you will see he's still there. They asked Mechila, the others, I mean, he was frozen. They asked Mechila, they promised they're never going to come in again, and then he was able to leave. So, Bochanan lived thousands of years after the Beis HaMikdash. You could defile the Beis HaMikdash? How could you defile the Beis HaMikdash? Yavim could do it. No one else could do it. Yavim could do it. There's Gabra Lahechel. Yesim Kol Umes. No other nation could do it. Yavim could do it. Yavim was the first and last one to do it. I told you. Bavol did not defile the Hechel. They destroyed it. Edom did not defile the Hechel. They destroyed it. Yavon took the Hekel head on and used it for their purposes. That's a gvura. You know, to destroy your enemy is one thing. To get your enemy to work for you is another. It's far beyond. The similar davar Hekel. The gematria of Hekel is 65. The gematria of Yavin is 66. So it's a similar davar that Yavin is more powerful than the power of the Hekel. The Hekel is powerful. It's much more powerful than anything in this world. The Hekel has a power. It has a power. It's connected. It's connected to another world. But as powerful as it is, as impervious as it might be, impervious or immune, strong, impervious to outer forces, Yavin is stronger. Of all the nations, Yavin is the only one that's stronger. That's why they're able to do it. Of
So, Edom and Babel, they didn't actually destroy the Beit HaMikdash. They weren't...
The Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the Beit... The Medrash says the Klal Yisrael took all the Kedusha out of the Beit HaMikdash, and the Beit HaMikdash was just a regular building, and they just destroyed
the Yavan really did this.
The Yavan really did this. They're Misgaber and Hekel. They're Mitam and Hekel. What was in the Hekel? There was a Menorah. How many branches were in the Menorah? Seven. How many? And not eight. Seven, right. Six plus the middle one. Seven and not eight. The number seven was created when Hashem created the world. Hashem created the world in 7 days. That was the first seven in the world. Hashem created the world in 7 days. Number seven relates to creation of the world. So Menorah very much relates to the creation of the physical world. The significance of the seven branches of the Menorah is one branch represents each one of the days of the creation of the physical world. The Mizbeach was there. They burnt physical incense. In the Hekel, it was the Mizbeach HaKeteris. They burnt physical incense. Lachem HaPanim was in there. It's bread. Bread, meat, and seven.
Bread meaning what?
Seven. Oh. The number seven. Of all the three, the Menorah is the one that's closest to something from Shemayim because the Menorah is light. Bread is bread. Meat is meat. The Menorah is light. So of the three, you know, there were things inside the Hekel that had properties of the metaphysical. I mean, there were miracles with each one of these things, especially in the first place of Migdash. The Lechem HaPanim was fresh from the day it was baked until the day it was eaten, which was a week. It was week old bread. And the Menorah, even though you lit one light after another, the one that was lit first lasted as long as the ones you lit afterwards. If you lit a Hanukkah menorah, you know that. That the one you light first goes out first. The menorah, you know, it always... there were miraculous qualities to the things in the mitzvah, especially in the time of the first base of English. The Kabbanis were in the courtyard. The flies didn't attack the Kabbanis. There were properties to the terrorists. I mean, this can't do it. Aaron HaKohen was able to stop a plague with Dictyrus. Dictyrus was filled with life. The smoke from the Kabbalah's went up. These are the miracles that happened in the Beis HaMikdash. But when it comes down to it, despite the miracles, all the miracles aside, anything in the Hekel was part of Olam Hazeh. Incense, oil, bread. It's Olam Hazeh. Now, if you had to have a scale, you know, of all the things in the Olam Hazeh, which ones are highest on the scale? You know, 1 to 10, things that are closest to Shemayim, things that are closest to spirituality. So it would be the things inside of the Hekel. So you would get a 10. But it's part of the scale of 1 to 10. Of all the things in this world, which one is the closest to Shemayim? The things in the Hekel, the things in the Beis HaMikdash, the Kodesh. Because there's all things that you could actually see. You could see them, you could smell them, you could touch them. They're visible to the naked eye. But they're the most special things of all of creation. Because they resemble things that you can't see. Do you have what I'm saying? You could see them, you could touch them, you could feel them, you could smell them, you could taste them, but they resemble things that you can't see. There's something special about them, something unique. There's a component that's hidden that you can't see. But it's just a component, but the actual bread is bread. essentially it's bread. It has qualities which we can't understand, to be honest, with bread.
I mean, didn't we say that, like, you used an example of a par, but for the par, you said that the par is only a representation of what a par is.
Like, I did say that, yes. By the kata ego.
But doesn't that mean everything has a higher...
Sure.
So, why is that...
Because there's levels. Everything in this world, the lowest things... are connected to spirituality.
So what makes them lower than the Heichel? I mean, they're all connected to something, to a higher something.
They're all connected to a higher something. But their presence in this world appears to us in different forms.
And what makes the Heichel's physical manifestation better, more...
You can actually see it. The way it's revealed to us in the same way as any other physical thing in this world. You're able to see the bread just like you can see the bread on your table. So the way Hashem chooses to reveal it to us is in the same way as the mundane things are revealed to us. Lachem apanim, it's fresh. Even a week later, it's fresh. But we do have a concept of fresh bread outside of the Beis Hamikdash. It was just baked, just like my wife's cupcakes this morning. So the lachem apanim was fresh for a week. And my wife's cupcakes are fresh for a day. It's the same. And there's something unique about the lachem apanim, the freshness of the bread. But freshness is a concept which we have in this world. It's an olam hazadika concept. It was fresh, when they ate it was fresh bread. But normally, you know, wind blows smoke aside. But if there's no wind, the smoke could go directly up. So smoke going directly up during a windstorm, that's a phenomenon, that's a miracle. That's a nes. And that's a gila, that there's a kesher with something lamala. But it's smoke. Smoke is a physical thing. Smoke going up is also a physical thing. In this particular setting and circumstances, it's a phenomenon, it's something which you see that there's the hand of the divine. But there's nothing not physical about smoke going up. Yavon. What sets Yavon apart from any other nation is that Yavon had a brain. Yavon understood to the very end, ad ha-sof, the klolius of the world of seven. And the great philosophers were Greek philosophers. Aristotle was a Greek philosopher. The Rambam had a tremendous respect for his words. Because in his understanding of the world of sevens, he was unparalleled. Chazal say, Chokma b'gayim taimin. That if you find wisdom among the gayim, believe it. It's real. The knowledge of the Yavanim, of the world following the 7 days of creation, from the 7 days of creation and on, was unparalleled. There was no other Gentile nation that had that. They knew it all. And with knowledge comes strength. If you know your opponent, you could defeat him. He becomes predictable. And this is true in any form of combat. Or if you have a problem or a challenge, something breaks down and you know how it works, you can fix it. Or the other way around, you know, now you know, there's these cyber wars now between all these countries, you know, Iran and China and the United States, and these worms that are infiltrating systems. you know, the best hackers are the ones that create the antivirus software to protect computers. They design the protection. They protect, you know, the programmers for McAfee, the McAfee programmers. It's one of the good ones. McAfee, Avira, AVG. McAfee programmers. You can't protect yourself against them. They created the program to protect the computer from a virus. So they know how it works. They could get past it. The Heichel is very powerful. It works in a certain way. It has certain properties. It has certain defenses. There's certain things that you can't get around. It's very strong. It's powerful. It's immune to attack. But if you understand everything in creation that has to do with the number 7, if you understand anything under the God, this Shiva Kekhve Lakhvis, the 7 stars that they rotate, Shiva Kekhve Lakhvis, the 7 constellations that they go around in a wheel. You know, the astronomers know this. And they ascend one after another. Everything in this world is under the dominion of 7. The Gemara talks about you can predict the character of a child based on the moment that they're born. What day of the week? Which month, what time of the day. It's predictable. The Yavanim knew this. They were scary people. They could tell a mother what the nature of her child is going to be based on when the child is born. And they would be right. Because they understand the Chachma of Sheva. That the Shiva Kekhve Lechas, and they have an orbit, a cycle around the world, and the Mashpia, and anything that comes into the cycle, and there's a gateway. If something comes into the world at a particular moment when a certain constellation is in ascendancy, it's going to be Mashpia on the child, and the child will pick up the properties of the Kekhav at that time. It sounds like Ruchnius. It's very close to Ruchnius. Yavan is Begmatria 66. Galgal is also Begmatria 66. Same Gematria. But it's under the cycles, the globes. There's a deeper point, a deeper level. Since they master everything that's in the world of sevens, that means it's anything that was in creation after God created the world. That means that everything that they know can be detected by the physical senses. There's a physical presence. Aristotle said, he wrote, "Was ich verstehe nicht, ist nicht." That which I don't understand does not exist. Because I understand everything. So if I don't understand it, it's not there. There's a lot in that. It means that every single thing which is observable, he understood. And he wasn't saying it out of gaiva. He spent his whole life observing the physical phenomena. He got it all, and he knew he got it all. There was nothing left for him to understand. Him with his chaverim, there was nothing left for him to understand. He understood everything. The physical world is finite. There's a point when you could say, I know everything. And he did. And if he didn't understand it, it doesn't exist. The famous philosopher Descartes. He's the famous philosopher. His slogan, he lived by the words, "I think, therefore I am." He was once wandering around And someone, he looked a little thirsty, so someone asked him if he wanted a beer. And he responded, I think not. Poof, he disappeared. Aristotle was the ultimate Balgaiva. If I don't understand it, it's not there. Ultimate in Gaiva. Because nothing can exist I don't understand. The Heichal is part of the world of seven. It's a special part of the world of seven. It's part of the world of seven, but Yavan is stronger than that. This is the home turf. Elam Hazza is the home turf. Yavan's understanding of this world, if you're going to try and take Yavan out in a debate, and their understanding of this world, and Yavan says, it's limited to this world. You can't bring in anything that's outside of this world. That's the ground rules. You have a debate about who understands this world. This world disconnected from anything higher, disconnected from anything else. You will lose. They understand this world better. You're going to lose. You're going to go down. And if they understand, that means that they understand the Heichal in a vacuum, the Heichal by itself, better than we do. And when they go in there and they defile it, the Heichal does not stop them. Because they are stronger than the wisdom that went into building the Heichal. And they defied the Heichal. Until they found one jug of oil. That one jug of oil had the chaisem, the seal of the Kohen Gadol. It was sealed. What's significant about that is that the Kohen Gadol was different than any kind, even the Kehanim. The Kehanim were limited. The avodah of the Kehanim was in this world. Yisrael or Levi wasn't even allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash. But a Kohen who went to the Beis HaMikdash was in this world. He did his avodah in this world. The Kohen Gadol was the only one that was allowed to go into the Kodesh Kedashim. He's the only one that he belonged in the Kodesh Kedashim. The Kodesh Kedashim is not Olam Hazeh. The Maharal says the Kodesh Kedashim is Olam Haba. What was in the Kodesh Kedashim? The Torah was in the Kodesh Kedashim. The Torah is from Shemayim. The Torah is not bread. The Torah is not oil. The Torah is not incense. The Torah is thought. Bread did not exist before the creation of the world. The Torah did. The Torah precedes the world of seven. The Torah is eight, as we know. When we spoke about this last year, that's why we light eight lights on Hanukkah, because the seven of the menorah and the Beis HaMikdash, plus one light connect the Torah. The Aron is there. So the Aron is letter Aleph, Resh, Vav, Nun. If you mix those letters around, it spells Or, Nun. The Or of the fifth, the light of the 50th gate. The light of the 50th gate is the beginning of the 8th level, because 49 is 7 times 7. So anything represented by the number 49 is something in this world. And 50 is the beginning of a tfisa, of a grasp in the next world. It's the beginning of the 8th level. And Or Nun is the light from the Sharon Nun. And the Luchas were in the Aron. And the Shivri Luchas were in the Aron. And that's the most significant thing, because where did the Shivri Luchas come from? The Shivri Luchas were not created in the days of Bereshis. The Shivri Luchas was created in the world of eight. There was no laws of space inside of the Kodesh Kedashim. Because when one entered in the Kodesh Kedashim, they left this world. So the Kodesh, the Heichal, is the holiest physical place in the entire world. And the things that are contained within them are the holiest items in this world. but they're in this world. And when one went into Kodesh Kodashim, they left this world. The Maral says that the word Heichal, he said the way you pronounce it is Heichal, not Heichal, Heichal. He said that's the way you pronounce it. Heichal is Hey Yud Chaf Lamed. Hey Yichal is Hey Yud Yud Chaf Lamed. He said there's an extra Yud there, but you don't see it. It's hidden. The Yavanim knew all there is to know about the physical universe. And if they would take the Beis HaMikdash on its own without any connection to anything, they understand it, they're more powerful to it. But there's a secret. The Heichal is not a building all on its own. It's connected to the Kodesh Kodashim. There's a corridor between the Heichal and the Kodesh Kodashim. You can go from one to the next. And that means if you're going to look at the Heichal on its own and try and understand it, you're not seeing the whole picture. The Yavanim didn't see the Kodesh Kodashim because they couldn't understand it. And since they couldn't understand it, it didn't exist. What I don't understand doesn't exist. They were metame at the Heichal. That's the lesson. They were metame at the Heichal. It does not say they were metame at the Kodesh Kodashim. You know why? Because they weren't metame at the Kodesh Kodashim. They couldn't go in. They couldn't go. They'd go in there, they would die a terrible death. They were scared to go into the Kodesh Kodashim. They limited their activities to the Heichal because the Kodesh Kodashim they couldn't understand. They couldn't understand it didn't exist. They couldn't deal with it. It was beyond them. Something that's beyond them is not part of the reality. They didn't defile it. Now that was a mistake. I mean, it was a mistake. It was you could defile the Kodesh, but as long as the Kodesh is connected to the Kodesh Kodashim, so then what you did is just external. You didn't, you know. The gematria of Heichal, if you put in the extra yud, is Hey Yud Yud Chaf Lamed. That's 75. That's the gematria of Kohen. Maral says the number 75 is a significant number because 75 is exactly between 70 and 80. Because the Kohen bridges the world of 7 and 8. So the Kohen Gadol is the bridge between the Heichal and the Kodesh Kodashim. He's the bridge between the Heichal and the Heichal. But if you're a Yavani, you don't see it. The Yud is something, you don't see the Yud because it's something which you don't see. The connection between Adam Hazeh and Adam Abba is not seen. And the Yavanim don't believe it exists. So they have no power. They have no power over there. That's why the nace of the Menorah was Dafka with a jug of oil with the seal of the Kohen Gadol. That oil was a different oil. An oil with the seal of a regular Kohen would not have burned for 8 days. Because an oil with the seal of a regular Kohen is in the world of 7. And if you have oil that burns one day, in the world of 7, it burns for one day. There's no surprises. But it was the oil of the seal of the Kohen Gadol. Not every jug had a seal of the Kohen Gadol. This is a special jug of oil. When they had the jug of oil, and with Aftokzagen, in the times when the Yavanim were being the time of the Heichal, so in the connection the Klai Yisrael had to the world that they can't see was weak. The by Klal Yisrael itself, there's the Kodesh Kedoshim and there's the Kodesh, and the connection is not all that clear. And the Heichal is a place, it's a physical place, it's a special place, it's a physical place, where they came and they did Avodas Hashem. But the connection to the Kodesh Kedoshim, the connection to the Olam that you can't see or smell or taste or hear, that wasn't clear by Klal Yisrael. So by Klal Yisrael there was a break between the Kodesh Kedoshim and the Kodesh, and then the Ivanim are stronger. They can be Matam and the Kodesh. But there was a Mahama. You do it. One of the Nisim and the Mahama is Rabban Biyad Miyatim. Rabban Biyad Miyatim is if you're in the world of seven, if you're in the world that you see, so if you've got 10 Jews, you've got 500,000 Goyim, and you run the other way. It's in the world you see. If you're running towards the enemy, then you see something that can't be seen in the physical world. So the Mechama was a reconnect. The Nesim Menorah was a reconnect. If the Bnei Yisrael connected to the reality that you can't see, then the Beis HaMikdash is also connected to reality you can't see. The Yevarim don't have a shlita on it. We spoke about this last night, if you were there. I didn't know you weren't there. We spoke about this last night in the mirror. Rosh Hashanah has a lot to do with Hanukkah. Who could tell me why Rosh Hashanah has a lot to do with Hanukkah? What do we talk about Rosh Hashanah, about the Shefer?
It's the son of Amos.
Very good. When you blow the shofar, the Gemara says that the shofar can't have gold on it. Because Enka Teganas Sanega. In fact, the Gemara, the Kayan wore big dizav. Kayan Gada wore big dizav. Shakti we big lizav enkateg nasanege. The Gemara said the Kohen Gadol didn't wear those begadim when he went into the Kodesh Kedoshim. When he went to the Kodesh Kedoshim, he took off the big lizav and he wore big day lavan. So there's no problem with enkateg nasanege. So he said in the Gemara, enkateg nasanege is only when you go into the other world. It's only when you leave this world. When he left the world, he had to take off the big day zav. But in the Kodesh, he did Avodah inside of the Heichal, he wore big dizav. That was okay. So really, he's allowed to wear big dizav in the Heichal. But a Shefer, you can't have zav on the Shefer. Why not? Because Heil is Zikaron Ka'asik, Lefnayim Lefnim Dami. But since the Shefer is coming to bring the Zikaron of Klal Yisrael in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's like Lefnayim Lefnim. That means that the Shefer, it's like the Shefer is in the Kodesh Kedoshim. Hashanah is very, very much like Hanukkah. And Hanukkah is very much like Rosh Hashanah. But it's Kiyas Shefer. We leave the world. We have the opportunity of leaving the world. As Daniel said, we come in contact with something that's totally emes. Because everything in this world, there's a tyrovis, there's a mixture of Amos and Shaka. And the only way to have total Amos is to use the Kalim of this world to keep, you know, perfecting ourselves until we're Zeicher to go into the Olam Shekulei Amos. And Rosh Hashanah, you could do that with the Tkiyas Shefer. The Tkiyas Shefer is the sound of the Shefer penetrates us and should, and shows us what our pnimius is. Achitzanius is Shaka, but Apnimius is Kule Emes. Achitzanius is in this world, but Apnimius is way, way beyond this world. It's a place that's Kule Emes. And at that point, the Kadosh Baruch Hu judges us. When are we judged on Rosh Hashanah? At what point? When's the court case? When do they bang the gavel? They judge us by the Tkiya Shaifer right before Musaf. The Shaifer blowing right before Musaf is when we're initiating the proceedings. The same time we're being judged is when we'll be exposed to our true selves. The tremendous chesed. May we all be zeichet to see ourselves as we really are. And when we see ourselves, that should be mashpia on us. If you know yourself, then you be yourself. It should be mashpia on us. We should identify with what we really are. We should be zeichet to Ayri, Dabar Hashem Ayri V'yishi. Ayri is the Rosh Hashanah, because Rosh Hashanah is the R. It's the R, Nun. It's from, you know, in Rosh Hashanah we have a zeichet to go into the Kodesh Kodashim as the Shai Nun. Aron, L'davar Hashem Ayri. And it lifts us up, and at the same time we're judged. It's a good time to be judged. It's a very good time to be judged. Thank you very much for coming. Shkaya.